Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Interim Chicago Police Superintendent Charlie Beck is winding down his brief tenure as head of the Chicago Police Department. He took over on April 2nd. Mayor Lightfoot described him as a unique and gifted leader who, by his mere presence, makes us safer. And Charlie Beck, we were happy to have you here. Thanks for all you've done. How are you feeling heading out now?
Well, I'm good, Bob, but you shortened up my time a little bit. I started in December 2nd.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. What did I say? April 2nd? Whoops. Well, there will be...
It doesn't seem that long to me.
There'll be an extra long meeting after the show. Yes, of course. Yeah. Back in December, it's when you came in. And my goodness, you have faced a lot since you've been here, not the least of which is the current pandemic. How are you coping? How are the men and women of the department doing right now?
Well, I think we're doing very well, but I think it has to be put in the context of, you know, how is all of Chicago doing? I mean, all of us, including, you know, the cops on the front line, are horribly affected by this. We all know somebody that's contracted the virus, and many of us know somebody who has passed from the virus, and, you know, it affects everybody. And of course, frontline folks like police officers probably the most, because they can't stay at home. You know, they have to put themselves at risk, and then by extension, they put their families at risk, because, you know, they go home to their families at night and they take with them the burdens of the day. So, you know, it is a difficult time. I won't deny that, but I will tell you this, that the men and women of CPD have stepped up to the task, and I'm very, very proud of them.
As always, what are you most proud of accomplishing in your time here?
Well, I think that the number one thing was to provide a steady hand at the wheel during turbulent time for the department organizationally. You know, obviously the firing of Eddie Johnson and all of the things that were going on during that time. I mean, the city and the department needed somebody that, you know, has an even keel and you know, has experience. And, you know, I think I provided those things. So I'm happy with that. I think that's the main thing. But then, you know, the other things that we've done are the things that will last. You know, the reorganization, putting resources into geographic pools instead of silos of operational silos. I think that's going to be really important. I think the DCO program, you know, the program that provides beat cops to every neighborhood in Chicago, you know, that we rolled out in two districts and are going to roll out in all of the others, hopefully by the end of the year. That will have a lasting impact on Chicago. So those are the things that I'm most proud of, the things that will last.
What do you wish you were able to do if you had more time in Chicago?
You know, I think it's just more time. I mean, unfortunately, you know, I have a life that I love in California with my family and my grandkids and all that, and I have to return to them. But I have a divided loyalty. Of course, my primary loyalty is to them. But I wish I could have stayed longer and, you know, and had a greater impact, because this is a great city. It's a great department. There is nothing but opportunity for improvement here, and that's what drew me to the city. You know, is that there is so much more good that can be done, and so, you know, that's my greatest disappointment, is that I'm going to have to watch from afar as all these things flower.
I thought what drew you to Chicago were the restaurants.
Yeah. And that, of course, is you didn't. That's my biggest disappointment, is that the wonderful, and I'm sure that I share this with everybody, is that the wonderful restaurants in Chicago closed. And although I will say that they've stepped up to their plate with takeout. We had Pequot's Pizza in the office the other day, and, you know, that's as everybody knows, that's a great Chicago tradition, and we got that to go, and the whole office enjoyed it. We're trying to do that, and I think all of Chicago does that. I mean, we're going to do another event later today, I think, with Alderman O'Shea, where he has reached out to some of the local restaurants and bought food for cops, and I hope everybody is thinking of it that way. I mean, we all need to support all of these businesses, because I want I want to return to normal eventually, and if those businesses don't survive, it will not be normal.
I hope before you leave, you send out a notice to everybody so that if somebody parks for a couple minutes in a no parking zone to pick up food at a restaurant, they don't get a ticket. You just don't want them to block any traffic, right?
Well, I think we're being, you know, judging by the amount of tickets we're writing since the pandemic started, we're being pretty generous on that kind of thing.
That's a good,
you know, a lot of that enforcement has slowed way down, as it's good, because that was my direction is, you know what, this is not the time to major in the minor, right? We need to look at, keep our eye on what's going on as a city and as a community. And focus on that, focus on the, you know, public health warnings and things like that, mm-hmm. You know, trying to keep people safe. So
yeah.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that eventually, but not in the near future.
Yeah. And in the meantime, just so long as nobody takes advantage of the light traffic to go 100 miles an hour or run through a red light, I know the men and women of the department will be understanding. Talking to Charlie Beck, who has led the Chicago Police Department since last December. I know you like David Brown. What can we expect from the new guy, Mr. Beck?
Well, I hope that you'll see more of the same. You know, I think that he's a very steady hand. He has a wealth of experience. You know, he's a cop's cop. He loves the police, but he holds them accountable because he wants them to be the best that they can be. You know, I think that that you're going to see somebody that works for the community and has a great story to tell about that, and somebody that works within the police department to make it the best it can be. So I think good things are on the horizon. I'm very confident that, you know, you have a very strong public safety man, and Lori Lightfoot, an amazingly strong public safety man, and we're getting a well-experienced police professional who will bring many, many things to CPD.
Did you give the new superintendent advice? What have you told him?
I've told him that it's a great police department with great people in it, and they need a strong leader. And he is that person. I think that's the thing that I see the most in Chicago. You know, in Chicago PD, is that they crave that strong, steady leadership that is supportive but challenging to them, and looked at the status quo and isn't content with it, and wants to move this organization forward, because everybody wants to be a department that the city has faith in, and I think that that's well within reach.
How was the job of interim superintendent different from what you thought it would be? Did anything surprise you here in Chicago?
Actually, a lot of things surprised me in Chicago. You know, I was raised in L.A. and lifelong with LAPD, you know, as was my dad, as are my kids, you know. So, I mean, I'm very ingrained into that culture. And, you know, while they're very similar, you know, there's no denying the similarities, I think the differences stand out even more. You know, Chicago is a city with tremendous cohesive love for itself. And I'll give you an example. If you go to, if you talk to somebody in the airport and ask them where they're from, and they're from L.A., they're going to say what neighborhood they're from. They're going to say, yeah, I live in Malibu. Yeah, I live in Pacific Palisades. You know, I live in any of the many, many communities that make up Los Angeles. You ask anybody from Chicago, anybody from Illinois that lives within 100 miles of Chicago, they all say they're from Chicago, because there's a tremendous sense of identity, you know. And I think that's a really powerful thing that unless you're from the outside, you don't recognize it. And I think people from Chicago take it for granted, you know. And and so there's this tremendous sense of identity, which can be a real catalyst for change, you know. And so I think that's something that I want to stress to everybody. You know, you have a city that feels that it is tied together. You know, it's just, rather than a bunch of neighborhoods that happen to be governed under the same same umbrella.
Yeah.
And that's very, very powerful. And then I saw the same thing with philanthropy. You know, there are a lot of people that want to make Chicago Police Department better, and then there are a number of things that can be done to make it better. But there are a lot of people that want to help. You know, University of Chicago has been tremendous. You know, as of many of the major benefactors. Ken Griffin comes to mind. But the point being is that there's a lot of people that want the same thing here, and that's a powerful thing, you know. And I think that it can be used to tremendous effect to make Chicago a better city.
We're very provincial around here. We have a lot of pride, don't we?
Yeah, and I think that's another good way of saying it. You know, I think that in L.A., you know, because it's so big and spread out and you know, and only tied together by freeways and people in single occupancy vehicles, that it's just totally different, you know. And right now in Chicago, everybody, you know, has the same shared experience, you know, and I think that's very powerful. And I think it's something that can be used to make the city much better.
Yeah, we also walk around a lot here in Chicago. In L.A., you arrest people if you see them walking because it's suspicious, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't like people walking around. Why aren't you in your car? which is interesting because I think that's one of the reasons that L.A. has had such strong success in fighting COVID-19 is because it's a naturally separated city.
Yeah.
I mean, people do ride mass transit there, but not like here.
Right.
And you know, people do walk around downtown, but not like here. Mm-hmm. And there are people that live in apartments in L.A., but not to the anywhere near the number that do in Chicago. So, you know, it's a city that's made better for social separation, which normally is not a great thing. But for this particular moment in time, you know, it allows a lot more resiliency to the virus.
Good point. So what's the biggest challenge? What's the greatest challenge ahead for the department?
Well, I think achieving compliance with the consent decree is huge, and for a couple of reasons. One, because we have to do it. It's a mandate. But two, because it's going to make CPD a much better department. You know, when I was in L.A., I was under the consent decree for 12 years, exited while I was chief. And when we were done, everybody says, well, what are you going to stop doing? Because there's huge list of things you do to be in compliance. And what I said was, we're going to stop doing anything. These are best practices. We spent 12 years getting this ingrained into the fabric of the department, and we're not going to stop any of it. And not because we couldn't, because we could. We had the ability to stop. But because it's best practice, it made us better. And that's the same thing that it will do in CPD. And not just better as an organization, but better at what we do. Better at crime fighting, you know, better at public safety, more responsive to the community, all of those things. So that's, you know, that's one of the things that needs to get done. And the other thing, this city, as a city, not just the police department, although the police department is a huge piece of this, needs to get a handle on gun violence. You know, some of our neighborhoods are so torn by murder and gun violence that it is just a tragedy. It is a national tragedy. You know, not just a tragedy for Chicago. The studies have been done by the University of Chicago show that a young African American male ages 14 to 25 is 32 times more likely to die from homicide than his counterpart that happens to be born white, which is just awful. You know, we talk about the difference in the pandemic's effect as it pertains to race and economics, but that's nothing compared to the violence issue.
Yeah, and what can we do? I mean, there's no simple answer. It involves a lot of different issues, a lot of different people, a lot of different organizations, doesn't it?
Well, and that goes back to my original premise that Chicago has tremendous opportunity because we believe that we're in this together. You know, this is a city of unity. And so that unity needs to come together after we get done with this pandemic in the same way on gun violence. And that's what will change it because it's not only, you know, locking people up, although I believe in locking people up when it's appropriate. But it is about changing culture. It's about having people that can reach out into those subsets of violence and make a difference. You know, street outreach workers, which are coming online at the end of the month to a much greater degree because of the mayor's budget. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that we can do. It's faith leaders coming together. It's all of us coming together to denounce this in a very loud way. very public way. And I think that our response to the pandemic, our shared cohesive response to the pandemic, sets us up to be able to do that. And I hope that Chicago sees the aftermath as an opportunity to make a difference in gun violence.
As you say, it's a national story, and unfortunately grabs all the headlines. You know how I feel about it. This is a great police force here. 99.9% are selfless professionals who want nothing more than to help the citizens of our great city. A few bad apples should not distort the fact that the men and women who serve and protect here are great neighborhood representatives, are great neighbors from all areas of Chicago, many from generations of families of police officers, and there are some terrific cops working here, and I'm sure you found that when you got here, Charlie.
Couldn't agree more. And I come from a police family, so you know, as I said, multi-generational. You know, I have three kids working law enforcement as we speak today. They're all working because I check in with them all the time. But the point being is that, you know, I have tremendous empathy for the men and women of this police department who have a very tough job in a very tough time to be a cop, and I think they perform magnificently. Now, once in a while, does leadership let them down? Yeah, and I think that's what the opportunity is.
Well, listen, Charlie Beck, thanks for your work here in our city, your calming presence, your leadership. L.A. is fun. I know you want to get home, but if you want a good meal, come back and visit us here in Chicago. If you want to look at good architecture, you got to come here. And once you get bored with the weather out there, come back and see us here, will you?
I'm going to come back in the summer. As soon as you get those restaurants open, I'll be here.
It was great meeting you here a couple weeks ago. All the best to you. And again, thanks for a job well done.
Well, thank you very much. Much appreciated. And I truly love the city, and it has nothing but a great future.